listeners. This is Janine.
And Stephanie.
And this is the Course of Course podcast, episode number 19.
Hooray!
It feels like a lot, doesn't it?
Even though we've had a few weeks off.
We have had a few weeks off.
I got pneumonia.
One of us got sick, not saying who.
What did they say
no
about
names.
The guilt? I must have some unresolved guilt. I like to think that maybe I'm just clearing it from all these lifetimes. Because, you know, for having pneumonia, it wasn't that brutal. I mean, I had to take the medicine.
That is true. I mean, I've seen you much worse.
I didn't have, like, coughing attacks or anything.
See, because you're clearing out guilt, so the illness isn't as impactful.
And I went back to work in a week. I have been really tired.
Well, speaking of illness, I think we both wish Gary and Cindy Renard health.
Yes, we do.
We were going to go down to a Gary and Cindy seminar. Workshop in Orange County.
Tomorrow.
For those who are listening, that would have been Saturday, March 14th.
Yeah, today's Friday the 13th.
Today's Friday the 13th. Very lucky day. But anyway, best wishes to Cindy and Gary. We know that you will come out of this happier and healthier and less guiltful. Is that even a word?
I like to make up words all the time.
Exactly. You know what? We own our dream. And we'll do our own alphabet if we want. We'll do our own lexicon.
Well, they say that the guilt is in the mind and then the pain comes from the mind and the sickness comes from the mind. So,
well, I can say that my mind is pretty messed up lately.
You want to say more?
Oh, you. Okay, yes. You know, I have this ongoing kind of narrative with work situation. And I was saying earlier today with you that I'm grateful, ever grateful, for the many opportunities I have to let things go and have forgiveness. I'm working through them. I really do see progress. I just wish that that progress would be a lot faster.
I guess that's why you keep getting the lessons coming at you.
That's true. And I'm glad now that I'm to the point where I can recognize that and be like, okay, let's just deal with this one. I'm not great at it. So I do appreciate those around me who are. I love the Disappearance of the Universe Yahoo discussion group. We talked about this before because it does help. I'm in a hectic kind of environment to sit down, get an email from that discussion group and go, oh, thank you for helping refocus me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes.
I've been finding that the timer on that ACIM iPhone application.
Yeah, I love that app. Yeah.
That's very helpful. Mm-hmm. And there's days I do it and lots of days I don't do it.
Yeah, well, take a number, my friend. I'm at the front of that line.
So I just finished a review. And at first I was kind of like, ah, I have to go through each one of these lessons again.
I know, when you hit those review weeks, it's like, oh no, it's getting past this.
But I'm actually really grateful because I feel like I'm at a point now where intellectually I have undone the mind or I am undoing the mind. But now that I'm through that and onto the introduction for the second part, the piece that I've gotten that's new for me is the unforgiving thought and the forgiving thought. So the way I'm getting this is that basically all of life here is the unforgiving thought. It's an ego. We're seeing it through the ego's eyes, and it's all the stuff that's right in front of us. Mm-hmm. So the forgiving thought is obviously when we're coming from the point of view of with spirit, which, you know, we can do in the moment. But what is new for me that I'm getting out of the lessons is that they're really encouraging us to meditate twice a day. And it's that quiet time, that alone time, that going within time. The prayer that Cindy had taught us in San Diego in December about, I think it was the forgotten song and like some prayers, like whatever we want to do to get into the moment. And then just shutting up.
Yes.
And letting it just be, just God is. Now, of course, you know, the ego and the mind is constantly going with what about this and what about that. So it is a constant turning it over. I like this new piece because I feel like that's something that I don't have as much muscle in. I mean, I know Gary sometimes says on the podcast, you know, I just say, hey, Jesus, in the morning, are you with me? Let's go. For me, I'm going to try and make a little more concerted effort to spend some good quality time. I have been in the evenings because I've been coming home and going almost right to bed. And it's interesting. I do get really peaceful and having a peaceful mind and releasing all those thoughts. There's something to it.
It sounds like Jesus knew what he was doing.
The Course is so beautifully written.
It is.
And even though it's kind of confusing, it's actually really simple what we have to do.
Mm-hmm. It's like our egos want to make it confusing, but if we just shut that down, it's like, oh, okay, I see what you're trying to do here, Jesus.
Yeah, all the words and all the symbols that they discuss and how we just spin out, that's just the ego wanting us to try and be that meaning-making machine that keeps us separated.
Right.
So if we can just continually let that go.
So let's talk a little about your illness you mentioned last week. While you were not well... Mm-hmm. Were you still able to focus on the courts?
Well, leading into it, I was not in my body. It was the weirdest feeling I've ever had. I did have feelings of death and doom and darkness. I wanted nothing to do with the course. I had a fever. I was kind of, you know, hallucinating or something. It was a very odd feeling I've not felt before. And plus, my sinuses felt so swollen, I couldn't even wear my glasses to read. I couldn't read. But about 6 or 7 days into it, then I started back up in the course.
Well, you reread the Billy Fingers book.
Yeah, I did. That was beautiful.
I love that book. I love that author. I just thought, this is amazing.
It helped lighten me up.
Good. Good. You needed that.
Yeah.
And the other book that helped lighten us up was Dude, Where's My Jesus Fish, which we both love completely. So shout out to Mike Lemieux.
Giddy up, Mike.
if you're listening, Mike, we are total fangirls. So I hope you're enjoying our podcasts.
And thanks for becoming our Facebook friend.
Exactly.
I was thinking of writing this up. It's kind of long. But it's from, okay, oh, it's in the introduction of part two.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of typing this up and maybe reading it to myself, you know, like recording it so that I can play it back to myself.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking of doing that with a few of the prayers or the paragraphs that pull me in the workbook. So I'll read this. Father, we give these holy times to you in gratitude to him who taught us how to leave the world of sorrow in exchange for its replacement given us by you. We look not backward now. We look ahead and fix our eyes on the journey's end. Accept these little gifts of thanks from us. As though Christ's vision, we behold a world beyond the one we made and take that world to be a full replacement of our own. We wait in silence, unafraid and certain of your coming. And then it kind of goes on for a couple more pages, but that was part of that being quiet and just turning it all over and listening. I mean, are we really going to hear the voice of God? Or is it the Holy Spirit?
I want to. And I wanted to say it's okay to have that ice cream.
I'm going to have the ice cream anyhow. I don't care.
That's right. You don't need God to tell you that.
But weren't we talking the other night and I was wondering, like, why isn't the Holy Spirit manifested? I mean, it's a combination of everything.
I thought the Holy Spirit was kind of like the intermediary between us and God. Since mm-hmm. God doesn't know that we're actually here in this crazy dream of ours, because to God, we're with God. And mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit is like, hey, you crazy dreamers.
Remember who you are.
Right. I'm here to help.
Send you Arton, and let me send you Person. Let
right.
me send you Jesus. Let me send you Gary and mm-hmm. Cindy and Alex and Mikey. And
just in case Arton and Person are listening, you are always welcome to come onto our podcast if you're not too busy. We'll get extra mics.
So I finally finished Gary and Jean's podcasts.
Oh, the whole series. So
all
54
of them. Took me about 3 months to get through them. There's some definitely great information in them. We are grateful for all their energies.
Absolutely.
And donating their time.
Especially I still get very
Jean.
Excited when a new podcast, because the other day I just happened to look at my podcast. I'm like, oh, there's a new one. I didn't know.
Was there supposed to be two, though?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know.
I thought they said something about there was two.
I have no idea.
I liked that at a point it was like, oh, this is the Christmas episode. And Jean will always say, so Gary, were you bad or good? And then Gary delivers his Mae West line. And I thought, why doesn't Gene ask him if he's been naughty or nice?
More along the traditional theme of Christmas.
I just think it's funny.
You know, it'd be great if
on
there...
He's been naughty.
Yeah. Wow, Stephanie, getting into it. It would be nice maybe if they had other visitors. I know that on occasion Cindy will jump in. Because I believe that Gene does these things with Gary on the phone. I don't think that Gary's in the studio in Florida.
Yeah. I mean, his wife comes in. The cats come in.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy sometimes comes in on this end and they have a little singing fest.
Well, my cat's here right now. Very quiet. Running around. Actually finding a fly. That's what they do, you know.
Hmm.
If only our lives were so simple and exciting to follow a fly.
Mm-hmm. For a while we were talking about, last time we podcasted, I had asked for a raise.
Yes. Tell us how that went.
I immediately got sick with pneumonia and was
well
gone
done.
For a week.
Yeah.
And while I was gone, I got a pretty gigantic raise.
I know. I'm so happy for you.
I was very surprised. And
you totally deserve it. Let's talk about kind of the fear around asking for a raise, because I think everybody sort of experiences that. Like, do I ask for this? Like, what if they say no? It's like there's always that trepidation. Mm-hmm. But you were like, no, I'm going to do it. You sent an email, which I thought was fantastically written. It just happened. It's kind of like, this is what I want. I want to manifest it. We were talking a little about busting loose from the money game. Mm-hmm. And the author talked about dropping things into our hologram. And you dropped it in your hologram.
I think I did.
You did indeed.
I think I deserve it. And I think it doesn't hurt to ask, because all anyone can ever say is no.
Right. And I think pretty much everybody in the human experience has had no at least once in their life. So it doesn't hurt us. I mean, physically, we survive it.
Definitely.
It's just a word.
I think one of the reasons why I didn't ask for a few years was guilt of not, like, my job. I like a lot of parts of my job, but there's a certain part I don't like that has to deal mm-hmm. with interfacing with someone else. And that's been part of my healing through the course. I think that the healing maybe is, I don't know if it's 100% complete, but complete enough that I felt okay to ask. Like, I feel at peace with it.
I think it's funny. Money is one of these concepts that, at least in this third world dimension, we're actually podcasting from Los Angeles, which is one of the more superficial places on Earth.
And expensive.
And expensive, exactly. And so money is a very big part of our life. And when I get mad at work and think, how come this person's getting promoted over me or whatever, and I think, just be quiet. I'm just saying this out loud. I think that we're both paid extraordinarily well for what we do, but it's easy from an ego perspective to look at somebody else and say, how come I can't have what they have? You know, why am I not getting the spoils of whatever? Well, the reality is I'm perfectly fine. It's my ego that keeps coming out. Like, how many cars do I need?
Just one.
Figure it out, right? Like, is this really necessary? Do I really need money to buy my 101 pair of shoes? I don't.
Right.
But the ego, it just runs amok sometimes.
It's that meaning-making machine that they say in Landmark.
And we've talked about this before, where we have names for our ego. Mine is so outrageously disgusting, I can't say it out loud. Mm-hmm. But I like calling it that, because then I basically am saying, look, you... beep.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even think about it. It's like these constant conversations I'm having one way to my ego. And then what does my ego do? Just does it again. So I should probably rethink my strategy. What do you call your ego?
I think ego.
Just ego?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got very colorful words for mine. I'm an artist with words, with dirty, nasty words.
I was looking at my notes here that about have to's. I have to do this, I have to do that. And I think one of the reasons I got so run down was I realized I hadn't had a day off, because mm-hmm. I'm always doing things on the weekend and nights. And it's those have to's, which is the ego, that's trying to keep me separated from God. So that's one thing I came out of having pneumonia, is that I really do need to slow down and create those moments when I can, meditate and go within.
See, this is interesting, this whole have to concept, because Tony Robbins, who I really do respect, I love his stuff, but he talks a lot about, you know, is this something you have to do or you want to do? It kind of breaks it down that way. From what you're saying, I totally get what you're coming across. The reality is, I'm there too. A lot of people are like that. We're kind of type A personalities, and we have all these things that need to get done today. I go through a list every morning. Okay, what needs to happen today? As though that list is so important to my life. If I don't get something done on that list, oh my gosh, something bad's going to happen. I don't know why I do this to myself or why I trained my mind to do that, but I'm very much stuck in that. List making and figuring out what I need to do. I get that being able to move forward in this time-space continuum that we're in, we like to progress and have accomplishment, but it has taken over my life. So tomorrow morning, Saturday, and I'm thinking in my mind, oh my God, these are the kind of things I have to do. I have to get up, I have to take a walk, then I have to do laundry, then I have to clean up around the house. Like, why can't I not do that?
And just go with the flow, be in the moment?
The ego part of me just thinks, well, if I don't do it, then it won't get...
Well, I think because we're both single women, we don't have partners, that we have to do everything in our life.
Right.
And I hate a dirty house. I mean, that drives me crazy. So mm-hmm. it actually gives me peace and calm to have a clean bathroom.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I like that there's an order to my environment. Very important to me. But it's not so important that I have to take care of everything all the time. I'm a big time hoarder. And you know this about me. I don't like doing a whole lot of stuff. I like Janine time. I always have.
You call it Janine
time. I call it Janine time. So when I get overscheduled on the weekend, I get really nervous about it. It's like, but I don't have any Janine time. Mm-hmm. And Janine time, honestly, is me sitting in my fat pants, watching TV, doing nothing. Because for whatever reason, I have to have that time.
It's part of your rhythm, I guess.
Well, my job situation can be pretty stressful and chaotic. So when I do get a break on the weekends, I feel like that's the time I need to recharge.
And with me, I just keep going. So I need you to schedule in Stephanie time. You are like an energizer bunny.
Yes, you do. Yeah, we're kind of opposite in that way. You don't have enough Stephanie time. I may have a little more Janine time than needed, but I appreciate it nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. And you can spend it any way you want.
Even though it might not be on the surface something that's all that valuable, because watching The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills in a marathon, although House of Cards, totally different story, totally worth it.
And now we know we can get a rehab house or whatever for $90,000.
Correct. We're learning things. It's all educational.
And have it look really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Something else I was thinking about was Alex had a new book come out.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Very exciting. Alex is very prolific, isn't he? This is Alex Marchand, listeners.
I am going to pull it up so we can say the correct title of it. I got it through my little Kindle. And note to the listeners, if you buy it on Amazon, and I wish I would have remembered this because this is his fourth book.
Mm-hmm.
If you buy it, you get the hard copy. And you get a free Kindle download.
Oh, if you buy the hard copy, you get a free Kindle. Oh, okay.
I think it's like $12.99.
I should have done that.
$10, you know? And it's like, I wish I would have done that.
Well, maybe I'll do it again. I don't mind paying $12.99 again.
So this one's called The Universe is Virtual. And it was interesting because we all are familiar with video games, so we can kind of relate to that. Sacred Geometry kind of remind me of that.
Alex is very kind of computer centric, which I love, because this one was probably the most
scientifically based.
Yes,
that was the purpose of it,
which is fantastic. But I've said this before, I think he's a genius to be able to take complex concepts and bring them down so simply to, like, essentially a cartoon cell blows my mind.
His illustrations help paint that picture.
So phenomenal. But I like the fact that Alex always puts himself in these books. I just think it's fantastic. To me, he's not only a visionary, but he's ahead of his time. I hope that these things are around and popular chronologically in the future. You know, when we're in different bodies, hopefully we're with God and this whole dream stuff goes away. But the fact that he's able to put this down from his mind in these concepts to be able to execute them as well as he has in these four books is astounding.
I agree. The part about like the eraser kind of disappearing the universe, so yes. It's kind of coincides with DU, resonated with me, and collapsing time and space, that whole idea. It just feels possible now, where a couple of years ago, we never even would have thought about any of this.
I don't know if Alex goes to conferences or has workshops and talks like Gary and Cindy Renard, but I think it would be amazing if he could do that. We would be in the front row.
Yes,
like
we would be.
Standing and clapping.
It makes me want to go to my local comic book store and say, hey, you guys should carry this.
Exactly.
And we have two here in Santa Monica.
I just like that it's yet another medium in which people can approach the course.
Yes. The first book still, I think, is the best one for beginners.
Yes. But the time one really blew me away. I loved that one so much. But virtual reality, Universe is Virtual? It's kind of like an extension of his earlier books. But this one is, to me, more focused in what it's trying to get across. I think to have a mind like Alex's, to be able to say, okay, I can do this and put a cartoon by it and somehow make the artwork and the graphics support it. So when you look at it, you automatically grok it. That's almost impossible to do when he's pulled it off four times.
Yeah, these books will last into the future for sure. He might not be around in the future.
Hopefully we'll see him with God. I just think that any course student should look at these things. If they haven't already, Alex Marchand.
Tomorrow is Pi Day, someone was telling
Tomorrow's
me.
Tomorrow's Pi Day, yeah. It's 3/4, 3/14.
And then something about the time, too, like at a certain time of the day for the rest of the digits.
Yes.
Some friends at work are having a pie party tomorrow night at 9 o'clock.
Pie parties are huge now. They are.
I never heard of it.
You never heard of pie?
Well, pie, sure, but not like a pi party.
I think it's 3.1415, right?
I don't even remember.
I didn't know pi to four decimals, just like everybody else. But there are people who know pi to like the 100th decimal.
Wow.
Which is wacky. They talk about Pi Day on The Big Bang Theory. That's right. You don't watch that show very much, do you?
But the zeros and the ones and being one and how the zeros can't really line up to be a one. And
Alex was interviewed by Bruce Rawls, who has that really great ACIM blog out there. And I think you watched the interview, right?
I had it on in the background in the office, so I was mostly listening.
We haven't met Alex in person. I know that you've had conversations with him. I'm always amazed like how young and youthful he is for someone so genius. Not that I think you have to be old to be a genius.
Well, Gary's what, 62 or something, and he doesn't look that old.
That's
and
true.
We certainly don't look our age, so
we look 20.
I think once people start the spiritual path, time kind of slows down.
It's fascinating, isn't it? It is true, though. I think people who are a little more connected are very transcendent and glowing, I like to say. I know people that I've worked with in the past that have not really been connected to the Course, but are still connected to Source, are like that as well. Not that I don't want to put it out there that someone who looks old isn't spiritual in any way. All right, Stephanie, it's so nice to be back in the saddle again with Course of Course episode 19.
Thank you for having me over.
So we are looking forward to doing this again next week.
And
we'll have
you,
a lot of
listeners.
Things to say. Thank you, listeners. It's always a pleasure. And again, Gary and Cindy, please, best wishes. Hope you feel better. And to Mike Lemieux and Alex Marchand, thanks again for everything. We so appreciate your work, and we think you're rock stars. And on that note, goodbye, everybody. Have a great evening.
Goodbye.